Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 103, the second part, really dealing with the Sabbath day. But particularly, we have looked at the Sabbath last week, particularly today, we want to look at which day is the Sabbath, because there is much discussion about this or concern about this, where people brush this day aside and say, well, it's not the Sabbath, it's just called the Lord's Day. The Sabbath has passed. I hope you saw last week that the Sabbath is very much in force and cannot disappear. Remember, we say it was one of those creation ordinances. Well, let's look today from God's Word about which day is the Sabbath. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, why do we not worship on Saturdays as the Jews did? We don't worship on Saturdays because God required we change the day we worship. Now, there are many such changes in the Bible of incidental things. For example, children must get a covenant sign. That can't change. But the covenant sign that your children get can change. That's the incidental. So in the Old Testament, they were circumcised. In the New Testament, they are baptized. But they must have a sign, because that's what God requires. And similarly, we see this. The day is not written in stone, but the rest is written in stone. The worship is written in stone. The rejoicing is written in stone. And all three things must be done on the Sabbath day. Now, to see that the Sabbath day is indeed on Sunday, we'll look at this under three headings. Before Christ, the Sabbath day was Saturday. After Christ, the Sabbath day was Sunday. And long after Christ, the Sabbath day was Sunday. And it goes so that you'll properly understand which is the Sabbath day and then keep the Sabbath day that God has commanded. Do so for His glory and ultimately for your good. Now, before Christ, the Sabbath was on Saturday. Let's see this from God's Word. The Sabbath was a creation ordinance, one of three. Remember what these are. In the creation, at creation, God gave three ordinances that we see. One of them was to be married. God performed the first marriage between Adam and Eve. After He married them, He said, the next creation ordinance, you must have children. Procreation is a normal part of it. But in the midst of this, with the marriage and children, He said, you must honor the Sabbath. And He showed it by example of stopping His work on the seventh day. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and let's read together. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now, the first thing somebody looks and says, where does it say you have to keep the Sabbath? Well, it's in that phrase, He blessed it and sanctified it. It means it was set apart for special use. Does God need to keep the Sabbath? No, you do. It wasn't set aside for anyone else but you. Now, we will see that confirmed in the fourth command. Remember what the fourth command started with? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This means the Sabbath was there even before the Ten Commandments were given on the stone tablets on Mount Sinai. How do we know that? Well, look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 together. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Now, God gave manna, that's the material is used for baking, for boiling, for making porridge, for food. Each day he would give the Israelites food for that day as they traveled through the desert. It was a matter of trust as well, so they didn't have to cook and save up and worry about God. God promised he'll provide for them as they travel from Egypt to Canaan. Now, if they picked up too much manna for one day, so that it was left over for the next day, it bred worms. Except on the sixth day of the week, when they picked up the manna that fell from heaven, they would have to pick up two times the amount. And what was left over for the next day, the Sabbath day, it didn't breed worms, showing that God was making that day holy, and they were not to go out and work on that day. This confirmed the existence and the honoring of the Sabbath. Now, one more thing on this first point. Sabbath does not only mean seventh. Sabbath really means rest. The rest day simply was put on the seventh day to mark when God finished his work, which was actually man's first day, by the way, or man's first full day. Now, think of how we say this. Remember how you used to Xerox a page? If you're old enough, you used to say that, right? You Xerox this for me. Xerox is not the process. Xerox is not a verb. It's just that they made some of the first copiers, and therefore you would Xerox the paper. Now you really should say, copy this, or make a photocopy. But we would say Xerox. And similarly, sometimes we can get confused and get taken up by it, like we had in a discussion last Tuesday night, where the Muslims will try to say, when the Bible says this is covenant of circumcision, and people would say, oh, okay, so the covenant is circumcision. No, it was a covenant marked by circumcision. Or at the end of the First World War, there was a Treaty of Versailles. The Treaty of Versailles was not a treaty about Versailles. It was just done there to mark the end of the First World War. And sometimes we have to be careful that we're not to think that there's no possibility that this day can change. Well, that's not understanding how the scriptures are written. Because sometimes we will use those terms in a way to identify a particular thing, but it's not limiting it as in the Sabbath day being on the seventh day. It could be any day by the language. Now, let's come to the second point. There's no question that before Jesus, the Sabbath was on the seventh day. But the Sabbath meant rest. Just people switched the two around, which was fine. But after Christ, the Sabbath was on Sunday. He said, well, really, where do we see that in Scripture where Jesus says, thou shalt change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? Well, not all commands in the Scriptures are explicitly stated. Some commands are given by apostolic and by Christological examples. The apostles of Christ set us examples of what we are to do. Let's begin to look at the evidences then for that. First of all, Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. When we keep the Sabbath on the first day of the week, we celebrate Christ's resurrection, which was the completion of his recreation. While Sabbath on Saturday celebrated your creation at the beginning of the world, Sabbath on Sunday celebrates your recreation in Jesus Christ. Look at John 20, verse 1. Together, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So we know exactly when that was, the first day of the week. Now, with Christ's work of redemption done, he stopped on Sunday, the new Sabbath, just as he stopped after his initial creation. But it doesn't end there. And this develops so beautifully. This is just the first general view. Now look how it gets closer. After his resurrection, Jesus customarily met with his disciples on Sunday as they gathered together. first time, the first Sunday when he was raised from the dead, he went to meet his disciples who were in a locked room. Let's read from John 20, verse 9. Remember, doubting Thomas. Together, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, someone will say, "But aha, they were having a church meeting. The doors were locked." They were having a church meeting, and the doors were locked because they were afraid the Jews would come and kill them. Many churches did the same thing, didn't we? We didn't do it, but there are places where they locked the church doors during COVID. They didn't want the government come and arrest them for meeting for worship. And that's what they were doing. So what happens after that? That was the first meeting. Look at what happens next in John 20, verse 26. Together. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Now this is the example of Thomas. 8 days later, when would that be? The next Sunday. The first day of the week. And he talks to them. In this second case, this seemed less of a secret meeting, but the mentioning of the day is what is remarkable. The first day of the week, and we know according to Jewish counting, and Josephus confirmed this, any part of the day was considered a day and was written as day and night. So 8 days later would be the next Sunday. And we talk like that. You know, a parent might say, "Day and night I worry about you." Well, not when you're sleeping. Not when you're enjoying a good meal. You're not thinking about all this. But you use that to mean all the time. And we're not as precise in language with day and night, and neither were they. And that's normal. So when he says the next 8 days later, it would mean the next Sunday. Remember, the Bible says too that Jesus was buried for how long? 3 days and three nights. Well, that's how you would say a 3 days. But was he literally in there for 3 days and three nights? No. He was buried on a Friday and rose on Sunday morning. But because it was part of 3 days, it was considered 3 days and three nights. Right? Just like we would say, "Day and night, I do this." We use that kind of language as well. We can conclude from this that Christ himself is stipulating the change of the day of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday by meeting with his disciples on Sunday, not on the old Sabbath. And he said, I kind of get a little bit of what that is. But let's go on further now. After Jesus returned to heaven, the churches that were formed met regularly for worship on Sundays. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7 now. Together. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul was ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, and continued his message until midnight. This was when he met with the Ephesian elders, and he was heading off to another missionary journey. But when did they meet? First day of the week. But here's the thing. Luke, who was writing here, the language is literally this. It says, on the first, not the first day of the week, on the first implied day, the Sabbath. The word there that's used for first day of the week is Sabbaton. So we see that they're confirming that the Sabbath was on the first day of the week. Our translation just ignores Sabbath. Done because to translate, they chose to translate the intention rather than the word. And when the disciples came together to break bread, it did not mean that they were coming together to enjoy lamb chops or pork chops. It meant they were coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which they did at every one of their meetings. But the word there is unique and very important, very convincing if you're looking for proof. Because the first day of the week was then called the Sabbath. And the apostles continued the principle of remembering and honoring the resurrection of Jesus marking our recreation by meeting on Sunday instead of Saturday. Well, what happened? Why didn't they meet on Saturday? Would it have been wrong to meet on Saturday? Well, believe it or not, yes. You know why? Because God says you ought to work for 6 days and you are to rest for one. And if they were to meet on Sundays, as they were doing, and also meeting on Saturday, that means they'll be taking 2 days of rest. And that's not what God required. He says you are to work for 6 days and rest for one. More, the Bible teaches the Sabbath was on Sunday by example. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 together. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. One of the things that the disciples in Jerusalem have said, to show that you are part of this global community of believers, Apostle Paul, when you go to all these different places, let them know where Christians are starving and collect money for them. And the Apostle Paul said, I want you to pick up an offering when you meet the first day of the week, the Sabbaton. And that's the word that's used again here. We say the first day of the week in our translation, but it's saying on the first, the Sabbaton, the Sabbath day. And they continue to do this. It was their way of helping the poor, except that it was Sunday Sabbath, not Saturday Sabbath. That's what the Jews would do. Remember, Jesus told the picture of the woman who went to give her money at the temple. Usually on the Sabbath, you would go there and put your money at the back of the temple before you entered. Offerings were never taken up during the worship service. More, the Apostle John, as he worshipped on Sunday, was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 now together. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. That's when the revelation came, on the Lord's day. And how do we know that too? We can confirm that because contemporaries of John confirmed that the Lord's day was Sunday. In fact, many early versions of the Bible simply included that it was the first day of the week. And the term Lord's Day came because people gathered to eat the Lord's Supper. Just like in Rome, you would meet on Sunday because that's when Caesar would pay his people so they would get food. So it was not a strange thing for Christians to describe this as the Lord's Day, because that's when you gather together to eat of the Lord's Word and of the sacrament. And it was done on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the Sabbath. Now see the most remarkable pieces of evidence in support of the change of Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And you can see that God planned for the Sabbath to be on Sunday in the three major Old Testament feasts, which picture the work of Jesus. All three of those feasts were on Sundays, not Saturday, the usual Sabbath day. The first one is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which was, or the Passover was attached to this one, which pictured Christ's sacrifice, that he was the Lamb of God who had died for the sins of the world. When was it celebrated? Sunday. How do we know that? Leviticus 23, verse 6, together. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And of course, then that 15th day would mean what? The day after that regular Sabbath, which would mean Sunday, the first day of the week. You can read the passage there for more details about it. Second, the Feast of Pentecost. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Weeks, sometimes it's called the Feast of Harvest. Picture the giving of new life to the church. That's when the Holy Spirit came. Pentecost in the New Testament took place, like this feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament, on Sunday. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10. Together, 10 through 16. We'll jump a little bit. Together, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, that you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Now, if you count, Jesus went up 10 days after, 40 days after and 10 days after. We see total of 50 days after his resurrection. We mark it as Pentecost. Pentecost marks the new life that came to the people of God. And when was it celebrated? Just a couple of weeks ago. 50 days after resurrection. 50 days after that, they started that harvest in the Old Testament. It was Sunday. It was a picture of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And then there was one more feast, the Feast of the Ingatherings. Last week I hinted about, talked a little bit about the eternal Sabbath rest. Well, we start to see this picture in the Old Testament, and the Feast of Ingatherings, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, picturing the gathering of all the elect of God into His kingdom. Leviticus 23 now, verses 34 and 36. Together, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. So just like in the old, the Feast of Pentecost, they mark off 50 days, which means 7 Sabbaths. The day after the Sabbath would be when? Sunday. Similarly now, in the Feast of Tabernacles, or in gatherings, when the grains are all in, they would celebrate on the 8th day. The day after the Sabbath would be that special day. So Christ's work of recreation was celebrated on the first day of the week, just like the first Sabbath was celebrated after he finished creating man. There's one more shorter point. And it's this: long after the Sabbath, long after Christ, the Sabbath was still on Sunday. We see this continuing in the church after the apostles. Ignatius, for example, the most ancient church father, probably a contemporary of John, we don't know for sure, said, let everyone that loves Christ keep holy the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And while we must obey God every day of the week, we are especially called to keep the Sabbath day holy. Another church father, Justin Martyr, in his Apologetics 2, explained that the Lord's Day was on Sunday and that it was called the Christian Sabbath. Another time he explained that Christians met together in one place, they read the scriptures and prayed together and administered the ordinance of the supper. And this, he adds, was the first day in which God created the world and our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. A picture of Sunday. Tertullian said, on the Lord's Day we deem it wrong to fast. He was referring to Sunday. It was a day of celebration. Irenaeus, Jerome, Clement of Alexandria, and Origen also stated Sunday was the Christian Sabbath. So we're looking now at hundreds of years after. What can we conclude? Those who hold to Saturday as the Sabbath are legalists. They're holding the letter and not the spirit of the law. Remember, it wasn't about the day, it was about the activity of the day, the rest day, the worship day, the rejoicing day. And it should be when God has commanded it. Let's conclude. While the Sabbath started on Saturday, in preparation for a change of the Sabbath to Sunday, the three annual feasts, remember them, unleavened bread, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, they all picture the work of Christ and the results of the work of Christ, and they were all celebrated on Sundays. The Lord was raised from the dead on Sunday. He met with his disciples on Sundays after his resurrection. The Holy Spirit came on Sunday at Pentecost. The apostles and the early church met each Sunday for worship. Even history confirms this. And in a way, it is really a return to the first day of the week, right? Because man's first day of the week, when man was made, it was Sunday. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we went through all of this, and it's kind of a little bit of an academic argument. You can prove something to somebody, but then you have to ask, then what? What's the big deal? Having the right day is not enough. Brothers and sisters, you have to love the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, you have to love the Lord of the Sabbath. You have to love the activity of the Sabbath day. The gathering together for worship. The friendship and fellowship we can enjoy. The eating of the Lord's Supper. It's special. It's special. You get a chance to reflect on your salvation that will be completed, and you will rest forever in the presence of the Lord one day. The Sabbath is not about restricting you or punishing you. It's freeing you up to think of more glorious things, to be nourished with spiritual nourishment. You get to learn God's Word. You learn how to be sanctified. You learn, prepare to teach other people and win them to the Lord Jesus. So love the Sabbath and love the Lord of the Sabbath. And make it, hear this, the most productive day of the week. More than cleaning out the garage or doing well in your job. The Sabbath is a productive day. It's a spiritually productive day. It's a day when your souls are nourished and cleaned out, and you help others and you encourage others. You invite them into your homes and you talk to them. What a blessing it is to have the Sabbath day. Work for God in it. Do good for your neighbor. Worship Him. Bring others to worship Him. That's what the Sabbath day really implies for us. And finally, the Sabbath was a picture of eternal rest. Do you want eternal rest? God gives it to you for free if you ask Him to count Christ's suffering on the cross as your suffering. If you do this, you will become God's child, adopted with an eternal adoption. And one day you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in His family now. But you will be in that perfect place where there will be no more sinning, but joy is unspeakable. I hope you will join Him. We plan to be there. See you there too. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. Thank you that you have given us this beautiful day that we can stop from all the craziness of life and rest in Jesus Christ. You didn't leave us to be uncertain. You had our good in heart. You know we need rest. You know we needed to worship. You know we needed to have joy in our souls. What a blessing to be with you, with your people, on your day. May we cherish this. And even the freedom we have to be able to meet together to worship you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.